So hi, welcome to Noise Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with.
And I'm Nathan from All Get Out.
I'm asking some questions to say about the upcoming self-titled album, so congrats on that. By the way, how do you feel about the response to the announcement so far?
So far, so good. I really try not to read too much about it.
Fair
but,
enough.
But so far, so good.
The album fucking rocks. I mean, comes out tomorrow, so you'll know the response sooner rather than later, but got to listen to it this morning. It's great.
Fucking immaculate.
Oh, damn. Thank you.
Of course.
This is the kindest I've heard about it.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. So is there any meaning behind the album title or cover art?
The cover art is a little loose. It's not like, you know, something directly related. It was just a fun imagery. The self-titledness is just, you know, as you get away from certain sounds or as you evolve as a writer, sometimes you kind of hit a new, I don't want to say era, but just like a new place. So we thought, why not just kind of define this as a nice moment for us? Not too big of a statement, nothing to look too far into. Just like, you know what? This is us now.
Yeah, you guys found where you guys are happy, like musically, and you want to define that within your discography?
Correct.
I got you.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
All right. So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the album?
Sure. For this record, I wanted to start with full songs written. Not that we don't all write together. I just wanted to give everyone a good ground floor to have. Like, if each song was kind of fully done versus other records where you kind of show up what you got and write on the fly and stress yourself out and all that. So that was the top of the writing. And then we kind of did things a bit individually, or one by one, rather. Then we all got together at the end to kind of wrap up guitars and stuff. It was nice. As opposed to, like, the COVID era.
Yeah.
Record making.
Yeah.
So we kind of inched back towards a normal thing.
Okay, so you bring, like, the full song idea to the band, and then the band writes out their parts, and it all comes together?
A little bit. There's some back and forth, and other things kind of inspire and dictate other things. But I try to keep things basic for the acoustic version. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't go too far. It's just cowboy chords and the melodies and lyrics that I like. But it all evolves from there.
Okay.
And it doesn't sound the same. So yes, but a little bit of a no.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. Cool. So what song off this album took the longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
I would say probably Around It, which is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. It just took a while to get the front of it right. Just the vocals are a little different than the new world for me, singing a little bit quieter like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it just took a while to get comfortable.
I got you. Yeah, there's a couple of songs like that where, like, you were experimenting with the quieter singing. Although my favorite is Windows 98 because of how big yeah. that song is.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh yeah.
It's interesting making a big song without high vocals. It's that was a whole new world as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. So how did the track list for the album come about? Did you write the opener be the opener, closer be closer? Did you guys shuffle around and see what fits? What was that process like?
It's never in any order at all. ever. zero process there. I guess at the end, you just see if there's a flow you can find. Which is kind of nice because then, you know, you start to make a little sense and find the story that you were writing that you didn't know or,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So we just wait until the end.
Okay. Wait until the end, shuffle around. Gotcha.
All right. So would you be able to tell us where Headspace is at while you're creating this record?
Headspace, all over the place.
Yeah.
So we did this on a touch. Every record's been a little different, but we kind of 9-to-5'd it a little bit. So as far as headspace, I was in it when I was there, and then just after that, went back to work or whatever I was doing. I don't know. I guess, do you mean anything more than that? Like sad, happy?
Yeah, just kind of like emotions and I guess moments that you were kind of going through while creating the record.
Well, most of these songs are a little more story driven and less about me. You know, except for your experiences just leak into it all. It's your interpretation, right?
Yeah.
Based on your own experiences. So I didn't really have some like big, I feel this way and I need to get this out kind of thing. I mean, I still sing about, you know, death and relationships and that kind of stuff. Just can't not do it. yeah, there's nothing particular. I just wanted to make a record for the first time in that mindset, instead of walking into some big, ooh, here's my story, you know? Yeah. So boo, anyone who has a story, I guess.
And in terms of like taking it from like almost a 9-to-5 perspective, do you think that it was like positive to your process or more of a detriment?
I think that's a really, really smart question, actually. It was positive. It helped. I don't know that I would do everything from here on out that way. But it kept us from burning out on it too much. You still do.
Yeah.
Yeah, very positive. Would recommend for people's health.
Okay. Definitely an interesting perspective, because we have so many artists that are just like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, the idea, that's when it hits me, and I just fucking write it. And I guess you just weren't taking that approach on this one at all.
Man,
it's just...
that's a young man's thing right there. Now,
I've been doing this too long for that. Shit.
No, nothing ever comes out of it, but a drunken mess, and there's a time for it. That's totally valid, but. And we kind of did Kodak that way. It was just our schedule ended up flipping around. But then it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. You're like, oh God, I gotta get up. No. I'll probably keep these hours going forward. Maybe a little later. Like, I don't mind going to 7 or 8, but yeah, that, you kind of yield the same result, like hurting yourself. Yeah,
absolutely. So how do you recommend your fans to listen to this album for the first time? Should you do it in the car with friends and talk with headphones on? Is workout album, party album? What do you personally recommend?
I always think you should do headphones by yourself, top to bottom listen. That's how I study it and approve it myself. You know, it's everyone's got the same exact headphones. Yes. I'd like you to hear it the way I hear it.
Fair enough.
And then from there, not a party record for sure.
No.
we don't do a whole lot of party records.
Unless you're trying to bring the vibe down.
Yeah, we're trying to get you back down to look at yourself. No, we're not trying to do anything. Yeah. I want you to feel bad. Please.
So this one should be super, super quick. Off the top of your head, I want you to describe this album for new listeners in 3 words. No more, no less.
Holy shit, boy.
Yep. Sorry.
Yeah. Yep. Laid back. Mid-tempo. Oh, God, that's two. I'm going to hyphenate laid back as well. Rocking.
All right, laid back, mid tempo, rocking.
I need more time to be creative. But we didn't go over the process here.
No, I think it was beautiful. It's okay. Yeah.
You did great with the limited time. In that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have while going through the record?
Let me think about that. There's a certain sense of passiveness and a certain like melancholy that I like. I don't know if I would say I want people to feel melancholy when they listen to it, but they might be doomed to such things.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully at ease, I think, is a good answer.
Okay.
At ease.
like not it's not an it's not an anxiety record. It's like most things, it feels a touch and introspective. That wasn't the goal. I can give you 1,000 buzzwords, but I think I'll stay there.
Okay,
I like that.
Oh yeah. So, are you able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this record, positive or negative?
The writing, like the lyric side, is always a challenge, or at least where I hold myself to a standard that I shouldn't. That, and then actually recording the vocals and being comfortable with what's there. I always start before doing a record, and then after finishing it, actually I do kind of a discography listen to kind of see where I am, where I'm going, where I went. And sometimes it's a cringe, sometimes I'm very proud. And so when I go in to do vocals, it's always like, okay, this is going to be forever now. So that's probably the hardest point. And it's just a mental hurdle. It always comes out fine.
Yeah.
The discography, listen, that doesn't like get in your head at all and like fuck with things at all. It further motivates you in a way.
I'd say mostly motivates me. There's this weird saturation you can get, and I don't know if you guys write music at all, but if you're ever feeling weird, and it feels like narcissism, but just listen to your stuff until it starts to sound good. And that's kind of what happens sometimes, especially like in the making of a record. You listen to the mixes or the songs, and you get this kind of nice little like bipolar wave of like, it's the best thing I've ever done. Oh my God, it's bad. But it's always been the same.
And you mentioned earlier in the interview, this is a more story-driven record than previous ones.
Yes.
Did you find any sort of difficulty in like writing more sort of story-driven than like putting your own thoughts and feelings and writing about those?
What do you mean? Like, was it easier this way that you're asking?
Yeah, I'm basically like, was there any like, did you find one way easier the other? Any sort of difficulty with the story-driven kind of writing?
I found it maybe a touch easier because they're so hybrid, mm-hmm. So I got to kind of start somewhere else and then leak into my life. And then when I ran out of ideas, I'd go back there. So it's probably much easier actually.
Okay.
And it gives you a whole other world.
Yeah.
You know,
makes sense.
Sure.
Or universe truly.
Yeah. So since you're on tour, we have to ask, what's been your go-to snack at a gas station for a rest stop?
Go-to snack, man. I even eat these terrible fucking protein bars. Met RX. You remember Kyle? Metrics. I'm guessing what they meant, but also like RX workout is awful, god awful. And that's been it. This is like the primary diet right there.
Do they just taste awful, or is it like the price? What is it?
No, they have the that alcohol sugar taste.
Oh,
the fake sugar, and it is
potent. It's just,
it's potent, sure. Flammable, probably. No, that's it. Sometimes Lay's chips are my guy too. I like those.
Yeah,
those sound better.
Much better.
And on the topic of food, if the band was a dish, what dish would the band be and why?
We're a Chipotle bowl.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Because it has a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
We're cheesy as a group.
Okay.
As a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we smell like onions.
Okay.
And they have it. Yep.
Okay. All right.
Gotcha.
I'll take your word for it.
No, I just, but yeah, I don't know how to make that one good. So that's all you get.
I mean, I think you wrapped it all in one. I think that was that was beautiful.
You pulled it together.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You put the foil lid over the bowl. You know,
I did, and then needlessly into another bag.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah. Fuck those trees, I guess.
Yes, all of them.
Yeah. And for the last couple of questions, we're going to shift completely away from music and go straight to Death Row.
Boom.
So if you're on.
Work.
So if you're on death row, what would your last meal be with a drink?
Okay. Last meal be with a drink?
Yeah.
This is hard because I don't eat meat anymore. But I'm kind of tempted to be like, well, I guess if I'm leaving.
One last time.
All right, fine. Just a chicken sandwich and fries and an IPA. That's it. Yeah. And then I'm put out. Put out the pasture.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you could live in one fictional world for a week, where would you live?
Man, I'd live in Hobbiton. 100%.
Hobbiton. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hitting my head on doors and shit. I'd feel tall for a change. It'd be great.
Yeah. That's awesome. Fucking eating like six meals a day.
Yeah. Naps, cigarettes, pipes, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I think they smoke a lot of weed, as I understand it, as well.
Yeah. I'd like to think it's weed. If it's tobacco, it's kind of lame, but.
They had some name for it. I can't remember. Obviously, I've been thinking about this for a while.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
All right. So I thought I'd ask the last question. Every single person that we've spoken to have said that it is the most important question. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Specific shade of blue?
Blue. No, just standard issue blue.
All right.
That's it.
So as I said, that's all the questions you have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
Just our album out tomorrow or tonight at midnight, whichever way you look at it. Just please listen to it and tell us about it. That's all.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, awesome. Thank you for sound. It's been Nathan from All Get Out, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.